name. Amen and amen. Well, we're just read there in Matthew chapter 9, verse 16. The Bible said, "No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment." Amen. And so I want to preach to you just for a little while on this thought. The old garments of a godly man. The old garments of a godly man. And so I'm trying to record this up here, so bear with me. Anyway, the old garments of a godly man. Now, I'm going to be talking about Joseph here in just a few moments. But also, we notice the Bible said you can't put a new cloth to the old garment. Amen? Well, first of all, it won't look right. Just won't do right. Amen? Just probably won't, as you sew it together, it just probably won't do right. Because that old garment is tattered, it's worn, it's faded, and then you put that new cloth to it, it just won't look right. Amen? Even though back in the day, they always sewn patches on blue jeans and sewed your socks up and everything else. But we're talking about something else here. We're talking about the spiritual garments. Amen. And then Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path." Amen. Ask for the old path. And I tell you, that's the path that God still has for the children of God. It's not the new ways. It's not modernism. It's not the New Age movement, the different ones. It's not Catholicism. It's not Harry Christus or any of that. It's the old ways. Amen. It's still God's way, dear friend. No matter what the media is trying to say, no matter how the world tries to direct you, it's still the way of God. Amen, Brother Anthony. It's not man's way. It's not the new way. It's still God's way. His way is still the old way, by the way. Amen. It's still the old ways, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Amen. I say that's the good way. It is the old paths. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9, Solomon said, "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun." Amen. No, sir, it's no new thing under the sun, Solomon said. It's still God's way. Everything that happened before, it's still the way it is today. Amen. And so man has created a lot of things, but I tell you, there's no new thing under the sun. God gave them the ability and the thoughts to put things together, but God is the one who created all things. Amen. Yeah. Nothing was created without God. He's the creator. And thank God for that. It'd be a dangerous thing for man to be the creator. Amen. He'd foul things up, mess things up. We'd be in a bad shape today because God knows what He's doing. And so, and if you have your Bibles, again, turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 37. Book of Genesis chapter 37. I want to look here at some things about Joseph. Amen. In Genesis chapter 37, in verse number 1, the Bible said, "And Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger." And he said, "In the land of Canaan." He said, "These are the generations of Jacob." He said, "Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah." I hope I'm pronouncing them correctly, but his father's wives. Now, those are his stepbrothers, as we know it today. Amen? His stepbrothers. Jacob had sons by others there. And so he said, "And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." Amen? Their evil report. And so we're going to look at the life and times of Joseph here in the book of Genesis. This is chapter 27. Amen. And I want to show you some garments that Joseph had placed upon him. There's three garments that Joseph wore here in the book of Genesis. And here just a week or 2 weeks ago, my wife, the Lord spoke through her to give me this thought. She was, I guess, maybe teaching in the Sunday school class, maybe to the children about Joseph in the coat of many colors. And she was saying on the way home just the other day, that she said, there's got to be a message been married. And what I'm preaching this morning is nothing new. Amen. I'm sure a million preachers before me have preached the same thing, maybe in a different way, maybe with different scriptures. Amen. But she started to say that, and I started to meditate on the way home about that coat of many colors. Amen. And the different garments that Joseph wore there. He had a trialsome time with his family, had a trialsome time with the magistrates and with Potiphar and different ones. And so, first of all, I want you to know that Joseph was the 11th son born to Jacob. Amen? And now, Joseph was the firstborn son of Rachel. If you'll back up in the scriptures there in 30, 32, 33, you'll notice how Jacob he loved Rachel above all others. Amen? And told Laban, he said, if you'll give me her to be my wife, I'll serve you 7 years. And Laban said, then that's what we'll do. And Jacob served 7 years. The Bible said they seemed but a few days because of his love for Rachel. Amen? And so then Laban made a feast and got them all together. But he brought Leah to Jacob's tent. Amen? And when Jacob woke up in the morning, he discovered that it was not Rachel, but it was Leah. And he said, what have you done? And Laban said, it is our custom not to give the younger daughter before the eldest. And so if you want her, you got to serve 7 more years. Amen. And so what he did, dear friend, he did that, which Laban said, he served 7 more years for Rachel to be his wife. And he loved Rachel above all others. And Joseph, if you look at the scriptures there, and many of you know this passage here, was the firstborn son of Rachel. Rachel only had 2 children. Joseph being the firstborn, Benjamin being the secondborn. But Joseph was the 11th son born into the family of Jacob. If you'll look at the scriptures, and I'm not going to go too far in there, but Leah, Jacob's wife that Laban had given her, first of all, had Reuben. That's the firstborn. Amen? You thought Reuben may have been the chosen one, but he was not the chosen one of the family because Jacob loved Rachel. Amen? And so Leah had Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, the first 4 sons that were born into Jacob's family. And then Rachel could not have children. Because Leah was hated, the Bible said God had shut up Rachel's womb. Amen? But he showed favor upon Leah because she was hated. And so Rachel's handmaid, Bilhah, birthed Dan and Naphtali. They were the next 2 sons to be born. And then Leah's handmaid, Zilpah, birthed Gad and Asher. They're the next 2 sons to be born. And then Leah had Issachar and Zebulun and had a daughter named Dinah. Amen? The only girl born into the family. But then Rachel, God showed favor upon Rachel and gave her the strength to bear children. And she had a son named Joseph. Amen. And he was the chosen one of the family. And so that leads us into the first garment I want to look at. Because Joseph was the chosen one, Joseph got a coat of many colors. Amen. If you'll look with me down in Genesis chapter 37, verse 3, the Bible said, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. Now that represented, that was emblematic of Joseph being the loved one. Joseph being the chosen one. Joseph being the head child of that family. Even though he was the 11th son to be born, Jacob had more love for him than he did all the others. And so Joseph is a type, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, Brother Anthony. He was the very picture of the Lord Jesus. If you'll study his life in the book of Genesis, he dies in Genesis chapter 50 there in the last part of that chapter. But all through the book of Genesis there, when Joseph came out and until his death, he was the very picture and spent a life imaging of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so Jacob had made him a coat of many colors. And I started, the Lord really gave me this thought while I was sitting down here this morning when Brother Travis was teaching. Also, we see that the tabernacle had many colors. Amen? If you study the colors of the tabernacle, when they came out of Egypt, they took the spoil of Egypt. God told Moses to take the gold and the silver and the blue and the scarlet and the purple. Amen? And the ram skin dyed red, type of his blood on the cross of Calvary. And so, I don't think it's any accident, dear friend, that God had put in here that Jacob made Joseph a coat of many colors. Just like the tabernacle is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, has many colors about it. He's a very type, a very picture of our Savior. Amen? Well, God just gave me that thought about the tabernacle, how it had many colors about it. And so Joseph, dear friend, if you look at it, it's a very type of the Lord Jesus. Amen? And so, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 22, but let me say this first of all. Amen? This first garment, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but this first garment that we're looking at, this coat of many colors, identifies Joseph's family position. Amen? That's my first point. This first garment identifies Joseph's family position. Amen? He was a family man. He was in the family. Matter of fact, he was the head of the family. Amen? We'll say later on, but it identifies his family position, Brother Jim. Amen? And so in Galatians chapter 3, verse 22, the Bible said, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ that might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law," the Bible said, "shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God," the Bible said, "by faith in Christ Jesus." Amen? Brother Jim Simmons, you're part of the family, amen? Because you've been justified through the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Hey, I'm just simply saying, dear friend, that coat of many colors, that garment, it identified Joseph's position in the family. Amen? I say we've got the garment of salvation upon us, and that garment of salvation that Jesus has placed upon us by faith, through grace, identifies us as our position in the family. Amen? Same thing if Joseph had that garment there of many colors. We've got the coat of many colors upon us, dear friend. We've got the garments of salvation. Let me show you what I'm talking about. In Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1, if you'll turn there in the minor prophets, you'll have to find it. I don't know where it's at in there, but it's in there. In Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible said, "And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him." I tell you, Satan's still trying to resist us today. "And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" Now Joshua, there in verse number 3, was clothed with filthy garments. Amen. Hey, you remember when you were clothed with filthy garments, Brother Gary? Amen. Hey, I remember over 13 years ago, Brother Jim, I was clothed with the garments of the world. I was clothed with the garments of sin. And we see here, the Bible said, Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. Amen. And stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments unto him." Amen. "And unto him he said, Behold, I have called thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment." Amen. Go get him a change of garments there. "And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head." So they set a fair mitre upon his head. He clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Amen. I tell you, Joshua, dear friend, got the garments of salvation. I got the garments of God that day. And put a coat of many colors upon him. And the Bible said the Lord stood by him. I said, dear friend, when we get into Amen. God is standing by. Hey, when everybody forsakes us, when the Apostle Paul was there, in the latter part of the book of Acts, he said, every man forsook me, no man stood with me, the Bible said. He said, notwithstanding, God stood with me. Amen. Why? Because the Apostle Paul was in the family. Amen. He had the garments that identified him being part of the family. Amen. His position in the family. Now, I thought about Joseph's early life and how we see Joseph's purity. Amen. Joseph was a pure man. He was a godly man. He was the very picture of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You'll study the book of Genesis. You won't find any wickedness upon Joseph. You won't find any guile coming out of his mouth. You won't find any filthy thoughts in his mind. You won't find any sin in his life, dear friend. Joseph was a pure man. Amen. Not only do we see his purity, but we also see Joseph was privileged, amen. Joseph was the firstborn of Rachel, who Jacob loved with all his heart. And he loved Joseph above all others, the Bible just said, amen. And so Joseph was a privileged man, amen. Look with me in the book of Matthew chapter 22, verse 14. Matthew chapter 22, verse 14 there. See what the Bible says here. Matthew chapter 22, verse 14. The Bible said, I want to say this, I said it earlier, that Joseph was a chosen one. Amen? He was in the family. He was privileged. And the Bible said, for many are called, but few are chosen. Amen? Many that the Spirit of God would weigh heavily upon and convict them and condemn them of their sins and try to woo them to the altar of salvation, to the altar where they can get saved by the grace of God. But many are called, dear friend. Many are given tracts. Many are spoken to by you and I and the Brother Duncan. I'm trying to tell them about Jesus. But the Bible says, but few are chosen. Amen. And Joseph was a chosen one. Amen. He was a privileged one. He was pure. Not only that, we see his pursuit. Amen. Now I said Joseph is a family man. He was pure in his family. He was the privileged one of his family. And he was the one that pursued after his brethren. If you'll look down there in Genesis chapter 37, verse 16 and 17, you'll see where Jacob said, go and find out, check upon your brethren. Amen. Now Joseph had already told Jacob and his family about this dream. And his brethren, dear friend, called him the dreamer. Here cometh the dreamer, amen. They saw him coming over the hill and they conspired against him. But I say, dear friend, he was always going after the family, amen. He wanted to be where the brethren was. And I tell you, that ought to be the same thing with you and I, dear friend. I think if you're saved, if you got the garment of salvation, if you got that new garment on, dear friend, the old garment's been taken away. Oh, I tell you, we ought to want to be together with the family, amen. We ought to pursue after the brothers and the sisters in the Lord Jesus. Amen. And so we see he was pure, see his privilege, see his pursuit. And then if you'll look in verse 18 of chapter number 37, you'll see the plot. There was a plot from his brothers to kill Joseph. Amen. And only one brother said, I believe it was Judah. If you'll read there, and Judah said, no, he said, let's don't do this wicked thing. He said, let's just dig a pit, put him in the pit, and let something else come along and get him. And we know the story, but I tell you, dear friend, let me say this. My thought is, if you walk with God, and you're a part of the family of God, and you're trying to stay close to God, there'll be some that will plot against you, dear friend. There's going to be something that's going to plot against you. Amen. You walk close to the Lord, and you got that change of garment. Amen.
Amen.
That garment that identifies you as a positionally in the family, or family position. Let me say, there'll be some in the church that'll plot against you. Amen. And we see that they had no reason to plot against Joseph. He was just telling his daddy, Jacob, telling his brothers about a dream that he had from God. Amen. That they would bow down to him in obeisance. Amen. And so his brethren got jealous, and that usually, dear friend, before the plot comes to be, jealousy is all they set in the heart of that one that is against you, that wants to tear you down and plot against you. Jealousy, dear friend, it's the root of bitterness, amen. That root of bitterness will sit in. And you'll begin to plot against those that are trying to do well. Amen? It's jealousy. And then if you look in verse 28 of chapter 37, you'll see there's a payment. Amen? 20 pieces of silver. They sold Joseph, their brother. I believe it was the Ishmaelites or something like that. They sold him into bondage. Amen? So they wouldn't have their blood. They wouldn't have Joseph's blood upon them, Brother Gary. And so they said, no, let's don't kill him. Amen? Let's just sell him off and let somebody else take him. And we'll take that robe of many colors and dip it in the blood of animals and take it back to our father, which they did. It said Joseph had been devoured by some beast of the field. And Jacob was heavy hearted because of that. But I want you to know, dear friend, the payment has been made by the Lord Jesus Christ to give us that salvation garment, to give us that garment that identifies us as a part of the family. Amen. Well, that first garment identified Joseph's family position. But let me see here. There's another garment I want to look at. This second garment that I'll look at, not only does the first garment look at his position in the family, but this second garment identifies Joseph's faithful position. Amen? Not only his family position, but he had a faithful position. Amen? And so look with me in Genesis chapter 39. Go down a couple of chapters there. In Genesis chapter 39, we'll see, first of all, we've seen the coat of many colors. Now we'll see a second garment that Joseph is wearing. In Genesis chapter 39, verse 7, and the Bible said, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. And now Joseph was a goodly man. Potiphar, that's his wife, the Bible talking about, had already put Joseph over the things of his household. He put him in charge of his household. Everything Joseph could have, except one thing, that was Potiphar's wife. Amen? And the Bible says, but he refused. And he said to his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house. And he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. He said, there is none greater in this house than I, Joseph said. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now see, that's the bottom line, dear friend. It wasn't going to be because of sin against Potiphar trouble in his little family. He said, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? Amen? That's the whole bottom line there, sin against God. And it came to pass that she spake to Joseph day by day. I mean, buddy, she put the pressure on old Joseph. Amen? Don't tell him what the Bible doesn't really say everything that she might have done to sway him, to woo him, but that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, as always, and there was none of the men of the house there with him. And she caught him by his garments, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. The Bible said, I want you to know that that's a garment there that the Bible talks about, that she ripped off of him and he got out of the house, represents his faithful position to God above. Amen. That represents his faithful position right here. We see that the coat of many colors represents his family position, but also we see this garment here represents as emblematic of his faithful position. Oh, don't you know, dear friend, isn't it good to know that, well, we got the garment of salvation, got the Lord Jesus with us, got the Spirit of God living within us, like Brother Travis talked this morning, how Jesus said, it's necessary that I go away, it's expedient that I go, that I'll send the Comforter unto you. Now, each and every one of us that are saved this morning has got the Lord Jesus, got the Comforter inside of us. But isn't it good to know, dear friend, that our position in the Lord Jesus can be faithful. Amen? We can have a faithful position like Joseph did. Amen? Joseph, he was identified in the family position. He was identified in a faithful position. Amen? And so, let me say, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, moreover, it is required in the stewards that a man be found faithful. Amen? Joseph was faithful, dear friend. Amen? Even though his brethren, now listen to me now. Joseph, because of his hardships, because of Joseph's trials and sufferings from his own family, could have said, what's the use? Amen? Joseph could have said, I'm done with it. I don't want to serve God anymore. I'm done with this thing. Whatever happens, let it happen. But Joseph remained faithful unto the Lord. Amen? Joseph did not have bitterness creep up into his heart because of somebody that did him wrong, dear friend. He said, I'm not going to let that root of bitterness come into my heart. And he was thankful, dear friend, even after he was sold into bondage, even after Potiphar said, you'll be my servant, amen. And all through that, dear friend, Joseph remained faithful, amen. Well, I say he was the very picture of the Lord Jesus and a great example for you and I this morning. Well, let me say this. He was faithful in his chores, amen. Read there in the book of Genesis chapter 39. Verse 3 and 4, read it with me. We got some time now. In Genesis chapter 39, he said, his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he put into his hand. And so Joseph was faithful in his chores. Amen? Joseph didn't let up on his workability. He didn't let up on serving someone else. Amen? He just said, hey, God will take care of this thing. I believe in his heart. He said, God, I know you're with me. Even Potiphar himself saw that God was upon Joseph. Amen? Even after all the discouragement and the despair, God was seen upon Joseph through a natural man named Potiphar. I think the natural world, Brother Jim, can see the Lord Jesus upon us if we walk close to him. Amen? If we stay faithful to him. Well, we see that he was faithful in his chores, but he was faithful to his commander. Amen? There in verse number 4, the Bible said, and he served him. Amen? Joseph didn't serve any other that day, but when he was committed to Potiphar's house, the Bible said he served him. Amen? He didn't say, I'm going to serve you for a couple days. I think it'd be better if you sell me to so-and-so down the street. Hey, I'd like to go down to so-and-so's house and serve him for a while. No, the Bible said he served him. Amen? And Joseph's identity as being a faithful man is positionally faithful, dear friend, to him. Amen? And that tells us we'll be faithful to him. Amen? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Amen? So we got to serve him. He was faithful in his chores. His faithfulness to his commander. He was faithful in his character. Amen? In his character. In verse 12, there it says, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. See, even though no one else was around, dear friend, all the servants and all the workers of the house were gone out. By no accident, imagine. No doubt that Potiphar's wife had all of them dismissed and gone out of the house. Just her and Joseph were there alone. Amen? No one to see them except for God. Amen? But in that position in the house when he found himself just her and him, his character was above everyone else's. Amen? His character, dear friend, was faithful. Amen? He said, I cannot do this against God. How can I do this wickedness? It's sin against God. Hey, it's when we're by ourselves. It's when we're in the car, dear friend, that we don't care to shine through like no other time. Amen? Oh, we can play the part and look the part in front of everybody else. What about when we're at the workplace or in a car or in a restaurant? Amen? How many times are we praying or trying to witness to others? He was faithful in his chores to his commander. He was faithful in his character. He was also faithful in his captivity. Amen? Because of this sin, or because of this lie that Potiphar's wife had told, Potiphar's wife told him about what had happened, lied to him, said Joseph tried to force her and lied with him. And so his rage, and he got his wrath was kindled, the Bible said, and he put him into prison. Amen? Look with me in verses 20, 21 and 22 of chapter 39. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. Now it wasn't bad enough, dear friend, that his brothers hated him and called him a dreamer. It wasn't bad enough that his brothers put him in a pit, sold him to the Israelites. And then Potiphar said, you'll be my servant. But now, dear friend, he's cast into the prison. Now I want you to know, he was faithful faithful in his captivity. Amen. He was faithful in his captivity. The Bible said, he said in the keeper in verse 22, or in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph, even though in his captivity, and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it, dear friend. Hey, no matter where Joseph was, God put him in charge. Amen. God said, you'll be the one in charge of this prison. Amen. You'll be the one in charge of Potiphar's house. You'll be the chosen one of Jacob's family. I tell you, Joseph was number one. Amen. Hey, I tell you, we can be number one with God just like Joseph was. Amen. I tell you, if we be faithful in our chores, be faithful to our heavenly commander, be faithful in our character, be faithful even in our captivity. Amen. Even those times when sin may abound for a season in our life, maybe for a day, for an hour, maybe a week, maybe, man, when the pressure gets on and the devil's coming to you, just fighting you, just up one side, down the other, dear friend. When you say that, the Lord, I can't see the light. At the end of the tunnel, and it seems like the devil's got you captive. I think it's still the time to be faithful. Amen. God can be with us just like he was with Joseph here. He was faithful in his captivity. Well, let me get to the third and final point here. We see, first of all, that first garment identified Joseph's family position. See, secondly, that second garment that she ripped off of him, Potiphar's wife took from him, identified Joseph's faithful position. And then thirdly, let me say this. The third garment we're going to look at here in Genesis chapter 41 identifies Joseph's favored position. Amen. Favored position. If you'll look with me there, if I get the sweat out of my eyes, amen, I can see in Genesis chapter 41, verse 40, starting there in verse number 40 of chapter 41. Now Pharaoh was talking here. You know the story how the butler and the baker had a dream that night and in the prison, and that Joseph interpreted the dream correctly. Amen. They were amazed, and so I believe the butler was put back into his butlership, but the baker was hanged, and Joseph had told him that one will be restored unto his post, and one will die. Amen. Because of what he has done, and so because that no other could answer Pharaoh's interpretation. And Pharaoh's wrath was kindled. He said, can anybody interpret my dream? You all know the dream, amen. The seven kine and the 7 years of corn and the strong ones and the weak ones, talking about the famine, the 7 good years of plenty the Bible talks about. And then followed by that, these 7 years of famine, amen. And so Joseph, the butler, I believe it was, came to Pharaoh and said, hey, I remember one in the prison who interpreted my dream and the baker's dream. And Pharaoh said, get that one, and brought him to him. And Joseph interpreted the dream of Pharaoh. And because of that, Pharaoh, he went ahead and got him to be the second in command of Egypt. Amen. He said, Joseph, because you have done this. And he said, where is one that is wise? This has all the wisdom and all this. And they said, it's got to be Joseph. Amen. And so Pharaoh put Joseph over everything, dear friend. Hey, Joseph was favored above all, dear friend, above the magicians and the sorcerers and all the Egyptians. And the Bible said, thou shalt be over my house according unto thy word. He said, shall all my people be ruled? Only in the throne will I be greater than thou, Pharaoh said. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen. Amen. And put a gold chain about his neck. But I'd like to talk about that vesture of fine linen. Amen. You'll find it in the tabernacle. Just a little bit after that, in the book of Exodus chapter 25, the Bible said in fine linen, amen. And that talks about the purity and the righteousness of the saints, amen. Oh, I tell you, Joseph was well favored, amen, above all others. And this garment of fine linen identifies his favored position, amen. You know, dear friend, when you get saved, you've got a favorable position with the Lord, amen. That the lost world has no dealings with, they can't have it, unless they repent and turn to the Lord Jesus by faith and call upon Him. Amen. And so I'd like to show you how this garment identifies Joseph's favored position. Amen. In Psalm chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible said, "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous." Amen. He sure will. "With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." Amen. I think God's favor is all around us, dear friend. I just made it to church this morning without having to wreck on the highways. I tell you one, there's been about 9 or 10 wrecks in the past 3 weeks. And it's just by God's favor, dear friend. It's not one of us. Amen. It's just by God's favor. We're not in the hospital today, dear friend, with some kind of a disease. But I said, the Bible said, "With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." God's favor compasses us as with a shield, dear friend. I tell you, I don't believe the devil can get in unless God allows him. Amen. I believe just like he did with Job, he lifted that hedge of protection off of Job. But if he hadn't have done that, dear friend, the devil would have never got to Job. But it was all in God's plan. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." The favor of God just doesn't have to be repaid. Amen. God gives, and we don't even have to repay it. He requires our tithes and offerings, but I think God's gift of salvation through the grace of God, Brother Jim, never have to be repaid. It's because of His unmerited divine favor that we're here today. That we're saved by the grace of God. Amen. And so, let me just say 3 things here and we'll be done. This favor that was shown toward Joseph helped the people to survive the famine. Amen. Helped the people to survive the famine. Not only God's people, but it also helped the world's people, the Egyptians, to survive the famine. Look with me in chapter 41 of Genesis. Chapter 41, verse 56. Amen. Look at this real quickly. Amen. The Bible said, "And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt." Amen. I tell you, dear friend, even though the famine may wax sore at our house, maybe the famine may wax sore, Good Shepherd, maybe from time to time, I tell you, God still favors His people. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, we can go through a great deal of famine, but God's going to be with us all through that famine. Amen. I would that we never go through a famine, spiritual, physical, financial, but they will come. Amen. But the best thing to do is go back to Joseph and remember that God took care of the people in the famine. Amen. Not only did this favor help him to survive the famine of the people, but this favor helped Joseph to save his family. Amen. Save his family. Now you go down in verse 45. You have to skip through a few chapters. Go to chapter 45. Look with me at verse 17. Not only did it help him to survive the famine, but it helped Joseph to save his people. Amen. Joseph, a very type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The favor of God helped to save that sinner. Amen. Is what it doeth. Verse 17 of chapter 45 said, "And Caleb said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye. Lay your beasts and go get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households and come unto me," Pharaoh said. "And I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat of the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, and for your wives, and bring your father and come." Boy, that good, dear friend. Not only did that favor from Pharaoh, the favor of God upon him, to help him to survive the famine, but they saved his family, Brother Anthony. Amen. That same favor that God showed to us would be the same favor to help save our families. Amen.
Right.
Help save the co-workers that we work with side by side on an 8 or 10 hour day. Be the same ones that can save that little lady, that little man at Walmart checking you out. Amen. Yep. That same little fellow at the Swifty gas station over here. Amen. And get saved by that same favor. Amen. Help him get saved just like it helped us. And thirdly, let me say this. This favor helped Joseph see his father. Amen. You see, he survived the famine, and he saved the family, and now he's going to see his father because of the favor that was shown toward him, Brother Travis. And that same favor that we've received by the grace of God helped us see our Heavenly Father one day face to face. Amen. I see we can just see now through a glass dimly. Amen. It's that dark, dim glass. Can't you see just a little bit here and there? Kind of make out what's on the other side. But then, dear friend, we get to heaven, we'll see him face to face, the Lord Jesus who saved us. Amen. Look with me there in chapter 46, if you would. Chapter 46, verse 29 said, "And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father. talking about Jacob, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and fell upon his neck, and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. I'm just saying, dear friend, one day when we get to heaven, because of the favor of God, because he saved a wicked sinner like me, my eyes will see the Father. Amen. You're saved today, you'll be able to see the Father because of his favor. Amen. Well, and through this message, we see Joseph's family position, his faithful position, and his favored position. Amen. I want you to know that that message right there was given to me by the Lord. Amen. Every head bowed, every eyes closed as we come, and we'll have the altar started. Amen.